Hi, I'm Gregory Dickow, and thanks for joining me on today's podcast. If you're one of our regular listeners, thank you for your continued journey with me. My prayer is that each and every message touches your heart and helps you encounter the real Jesus and rise to your true worth and purpose. Now, we release new messages every single week available to everyone in the world for absolutely free. And the reason we can do that is because we have precious people who give generously and sacrificially each and every week. If you're a regular giver, I'm truly thankful for you. I can't thank you enough, in fact. And if you haven't taken that step yet, I want to invite you to join us today. Simply visit lifechangerschurch.com/give. That's lifechangerschurch.com/give to make a one-time gift, or even better yet, become a recurring giver here at Life Changers. Finally, I hope today's message truly encourages you, builds you up, and reveals to you how powerful you really are. Enjoy, and God bless. Well, let's continue to get our minds around the fact that God wants to do above and beyond what we can ask or think. Amen?
Yeah.
And God spoke to me a few weeks ago, and I heard these two words, open heaven, open heaven, open heaven. And I actually saw a hole in our ceiling sort of going up to the sky. And God showed me that the heaven is open, and we can receive all that heaven provides, and we can use it to bring others into heaven. Heaven is open to give whatever provision and resources that God has promised He would give, and heaven is open to receive souls as a result of the resources that we use for the glory of God. Amen? So we want more people in heaven. We want to plunder hell and populate heaven. And the Bible says, so many people have asked me, what is the key to God's purpose and God's calling and God's will for my life? And I've heard many people have asked that. Well, of course, one thing that God has called us to do, that we know that giving thanks, gratitude, is always the will of God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tells us. But God also spoke to Timothy, who was the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and Paul wrote to Timothy. And in his second letter that he wrote to Timothy, he said, be ready in season and out of season. And he said, do the work of an evangelist and thus fulfill your ministry. Now, understand this, that Timothy was a pastor. Timothy was a shepherd of the flock at Ephesus after the resurrection of Jesus, and the evangelism of the apostles took place and started spreading all over the world. But God showed even the pastor of the church as an example for all of us that no matter what our day job is, so to speak, our greatest calling and our most important purpose to fulfill the work of the ministry, to fulfill our God-given assignment, is to do the work of an evangelist. So I'm really maybe a pastor, a prophet, apostle, whatever, teacher, but more than anything, I'm an evangelist. I'm a soul winner. And we don't win souls just through the preaching of the church. We win souls through the relationships that we conduct. We win souls by extending kindness and generosity, and we win souls by being mindful of the people that God sends across our path and the people whose path God sends us across. That we be mindful that nothing happens by accident with God. Everything is by design. And if somebody or some demon or some person interferes with that design, God has a workaround to make sure that that design is eventually fulfilled and carried out and comes to pass. And so, no matter where you find yourself in life today, do the work of an evangelist. You want to fulfill your ministry, you want to fulfill your God-given assignment, you want to know what God's put you on this earth to do. He put you on this earth to do the work of an evangelist, to bring others into the family of God, to bring others into heaven, to bring others into the open heaven. Heaven is open to receive anybody who is willing to come. Anybody. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," Revelation 3:20. "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and he with me." If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, all we have to do is open the door and God will take it from there. He said, "I will." Anyone. Everybody say anyone. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door. Do you remember the day you heard his voice? Do you remember the day that your heart was convinced, convicted, your heart became aware that Jesus was real? What was happening there? He was knocking on the door. He was speaking his words of love and invitation to you. But he won't kick the door in and he won't knock it down. But he'll speak and he'll wait and he'll be patient. And then when you open the door, he'll come. And if you remember that moment in your life, there was that moment. Remember that time? Remember that season? How many others might be in that moment now? And somebody handed you a flyer, or somebody shared the gospel with you, or invited you to church, or invited you to a meeting, or perhaps you just somebody gave you a Bible and something happened. God is alive. The Word of God is alive. The Bible is not just a history book, it's a book of life. It's alive and powerful. And the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, not by making us feel guilty and shame about it, but he convicts us of sin, meaning he convinces us. According to John 16, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit comes to convince you that sin has been paid for, and he convinces you to believe. The Holy Spirit's job is not to convince you of all your sins. The Holy Spirit's job is to convince you to believe in Jesus, because the sin that separates you from God is the sin of unbelief. If you reject Jesus and don't believe in him, that's the only thing that can keep you separated from God. So the Holy Spirit, he is sent to convince us to believe in Jesus. The only reason you believe in Jesus is because the Holy Spirit revealed him to you. Many of us heard the gospel many times, but then we heard the knock. And then we opened the door. We heard the voice through the voice. We heard the knock through the clamor and through the noise and through all the distractions. We heard the knock. We heard the voice of love. God is love. And we opened the door. There are many that who's waiting for somebody to just tell them. And the Holy Spirit is hovering over their life. And as soon as you say, "Hey, I just want to, could I pray for you? Or could I share with you real quick that Jesus loves you?" And maybe you've been burned by church or been burned by religion, but I'm not here for religion. I'm here to just tell you that God wasn't a part of all that negativity you experienced, but he still wants you and loves you. And the church might have done away with you. They might have cast you out. They might have condemned you. They might have judged you. But Jesus says, "I'm not judging you." Amen. You know, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. For freely you have received, now freely give." Freely you have what?
Received.
Received. How did you receive Jesus?
Freely.
How did you receive his love?
Freely.
What was the cost?
Zero.
It cost Jesus everything, cost you nothing.
Amen.
Freely you received. Therefore, he says, freely give. Freely giving is a reflex of freely receiving. We have to remember and never forget, we're children of God today because we freely received. And it says in John chapter 1, Verse 12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. Anybody here believe in the name of Jesus? To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. God has given us the right to be a part of his family, even to those who believe in his name. It's so simple. The most common denominator is the way to understand the formula. The most common denominator. And the most common denominator throughout Scripture is freely we've received. Believe in his name. Confess Jesus. Declare he is Lord. He's risen from the dead. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The most common denominator, the root to it all, is to simply believe and receive. That is what gets us into the family of God and gets us into heaven, believing that Jesus is his name. Even to those who believe in his name. Well, what about doing this? And what about doing that? And what about doing this? And don't we have to do this? And don't we have to do that? The most basic denominator here, most basic denomination here, is not even Baptist. It's not charismatic, not Pentecostal, not Catholic. The most simplest denomination here is to simply believe in his name. From a place of believing, everything else flows. The devil is deceiving people with religion. The devil doesn't need to use drugs and wrong crowd. And although he can use those things and does use those things, he doesn't need those things because there's enough religion to defeat you and to keep you out of heaven because you can't keep all of religion's rules. That's why God doesn't save us through rules. He saves us by grace, through faith. It's the free gift of God. Freely we've received, freely give. I heard Abe sharing a moment ago about how God's goal for our lives is to be planted. And to be planted in God's house means to be fruitful. And the only way to bear fruit or to be fruitful is to share with others. Of course, we can be fruitful in the fruit of the Spirit. We can be fruitful in answered prayer. But ultimately, God wants us to freely receive so that we can freely give. Freely we've received salvation, let's give salvation to others. Freely we've received the Holy Spirit, let's give the Holy Spirit to others. Freely we've received healing, let's give healing to others. Freely we've received, freely give. You see how it's not give and then receive, although there is truth to giving and receiving. Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That just shows how over and above generous God is to create a universe where when we give, it's given back to us. But the only reason we even start the journey of giving, I'm not even talking about money, I'm talking about anything, but particularly salvation, the only reason we can even start the journey of giving is because freely we've received first. You see that? Freely you received, now freely give. In other words, with the command that Jesus gives his disciples, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. The command to win souls, the command to go and be a walking hospital to a broken, sick world, he says that the power to be able to do it comes from freely receiving so that you can freely give. Amen. There are things in this life that we can earn. And there are rewards. And life is full of rewards. And life is full of earning things. But the way that heaven's kingdom works is not by earning things. It's by receiving freely what Jesus went to the cross to die for you and me so that he could make the great exchange. And what is the great exchange? He exchanges our sins for his righteousness. He exchanges, by his stripes, we are healed. He takes our sickness and gives us healing. Takes our sin and gives us the gift of righteousness. Takes our curse and gives us the blessing. Amen. Amen. It is the great exchange. It's the great exchange. On the cross and through the cross, Jesus established a whole new way of relating to God. I want you to live under open heaven. I want to prophesy over you, open heaven. I want you to receive and get ready to receive abundance so that you can give abundantly. You can only give within the measure of how you've received. When you give because you earned it, then you demand that other people earn it. But when you give because you received freely the gift of salvation, you receive freely the wisdom of God, you receive freely, you know that the mind of man, the intellect, the capacity to think and to problem solve and to find answers and to questions, the mind, the intellect is the most amazing feature of mankind besides the heart that is alive, that is born again and comes into contact with God. The human mind is unlimited what it's capable of. When I see the inventions that mankind creates, I'm in awe because all that is a little, small little glimpse of how great God is and what he creates and what he invents and what he has made. When it's all said and done, the most beautiful thing you could ever see in this world are the things God made. The things that man makes, beautiful buildings, pyramids, whatever, you know, houses, cars, rocket ships, that's all nice, but it's not the most beautiful. The most beautiful are the things that God made. Well, you can see for yourself. When you're looking through the sky at night, yeah, you might see an airplane go by and some of the jet fuel stream, right? But you see the moon and you marvel. You see the stars and you're amazed. You see the sunset and you're not caring about that airplane that just passed by. You're seeing the sunset, the sunrise, the mountains, the oceans, the waters. How beautiful of a world that God gave us. And how we've messed it up. Thanks to Adam and Eve and thanks to you and me too. Amen? But he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us so that we would be made the righteousness of God. This is such good news, people. I want you to share it with others. Please hear me as your pastor, as the shepherd under the chief shepherd, Jesus, the chief shepherd. I'm just under him, amen? To be a shepherd and a pastor, to feed you and to inspire you and to encourage you and teach you. But ultimately, what will release you into God's greatest purpose for your life is being planted in the house of God and then winning souls and getting them planted in the house of God. You don't have to be a soul winner or an evangelist like Billy Graham was, or D.L. Moody, or Charles Finney, or some of these great revivalists, and John Wesley, and George Whitfield, and some of the great evangelists of the early years, or even the evangelists Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We don't have to be an evangelist like them, where we write a letter of scripture, or where we preach to great huge crowds, but we become evangelists when we share the love of God with somebody, when we are aware of the people around us and the people in our lives, that they are our God-given assignment to bring them closer to God. That can be done by giving them a little, you know, invitation card that shares the gospel in it, or it can be done by asking them if you can pray for them, or it can be done by just inviting them to church, but it can be done by any and all of us, and not only can it be done, it should be done. It can be done, and it should be done. We're soul winners, people. The Bible says, he who is wise wins souls. All wisdom comes from God. So the reason God gives us wisdom is not just to have great successful businesses and to have great answers for people who are going through emotional, mental, psychological challenges and illnesses, but God gives us wisdom to win souls. Because Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 or 31 says, he who is wise wins souls. Verse 30, he who is wise wins souls. Make me a soul winner, Lord. Amen. You know, in the 1800s, there was this great gold rush in America and in other places of the world too, I'm sure. But during the gold rush, when people were hearing the call of gold, they left everything in the East Coast and they went to the West Coast to find the gold. The gold that was hidden in the earth by God. All the wealth in this world was God's creation. All the oil, all the gas, all the gold, all the silver, everything that has value came from God. And only when we exchange the things that came from God can anything have value. Wow. Think about it. How do you pay your bills? You pay it with money, but where did you get the money? Well, the money is a currency. Where did you get the currency? Because God created gold, and God created silver, and God created diamonds, and God created all of the riches of this world and put it in the earth, and somebody cultivated it and developed it, and somebody dug for it. But it wasn't them creating it. It was always there, amen. Somebody had to just look for it. Somebody had to hear the call. But listen, in the days of the gold rush, people would hear the call of gold and they would go running and leaving everything to answer the call of gold. In fact, there were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. And there are still people that are hearing the call of gold, hearing the call of whether it's Apple stock or Bitcoin or gold still itself, which is at an all-time high. And in its value. Why? Because everything else fades away except for the things God creates. Everything else loses its value, but the things that God creates only gain greater and greater value. And while thousands and thousands and thousands will hear and respond to the call of gold, I wonder why so few hear and respond to the call of God. If we would hear the call of God like they heard the call of gold, we'll set the world on fire for Jesus, for His glory. Not destruction, but the fire of God. Amen. Will you allow yourself to listen for the call of God? What is that call? He's calling you to fellowship, right? He's calling you to relationship. He's calling you to sonship. He's calling you to be His son or daughter. He's calling you to be one who gives thanks. He's calling you to be a worshiper. He's calling you to be a giver. And He's calling you to be a soul winner. Amen. I pray our church would be filled with people that are letting God teach them to be soul winners. Because when it's all said and done, this life on this earth is but just a breath. The people that are at their oldest and alive, they'll tell you how fast it went. They'll tell you how quickly it went. They'll tell you, it seemed like only yesterday I was graduating from high school. It seems like only yesterday that I had my 16th birthday party. It seems like only yesterday that this happened or that happened. Because time shrinks the further you get to the end. It shrinks and shrinks and shrinks, and then it grows exponentially in eternity when you die. And it's endless and it's eternal. It's only the things that are eternal are worth the greatest investment. The only reason I invest in other successful stock or things that produce monetary wealth is because the more I have, the more I can use to win souls. So you see, the real wealth of the world is not in money and currency. The real greatest wealth in the world is people. And when we use what God created to bring others and to bring people to the gospel and bring the gospel to people, when we use the things to love others rather than using others because of our love for things, we'll really have our life in order and our priorities set. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter what you were in the eyes of people on this earth or how long you lived or how short you lived, it's what kind of impact you made while you lived. Success, anybody can be successful, but not everybody makes an impact. Impact is so much greater than success. There's a lot of successful people. They were just successful in business or successful in a sport or successful in financial, but they didn't make an impact with their life. And the greatest impact we can make is when we invest in eternity by winning the lost at any cost. Heaven is closer for me than for some of you, and it's closer for some of you than it is for me. You're closer to the other side of things. You're closer to the other side of eternity than maybe somebody else. Let's not waste another moment. That doesn't mean we can't have fun. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be enjoying the things that God created in this world. In the right perspective and in the right order, all things are given by God richly for us to enjoy, 1 Timothy 6 says. But the thing that matters most is to put our trust in not in the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy, and put our trust on God who gives us a glimpse of eternity and opens our eyes to see forever is forever. Life on this earth is temporary. Life on this earth as we know it is 100 years, 90 years, 80 years. For some, it's snuffed out way earlier. And for some, they stretch out and they eke out a few more years. But the fact is, it's all just a breath. And nobody needs to leave here today uncertain about where you will spend eternity. And nobody needs to leave here today without the concern that we should all leave here with the concern to win others to Jesus. Because if we're going to come to the altar and pray, we got to leave the altar and win souls. You know, I know that you think, okay, you just have to be this kind of personality. No, God wants to use you. He wants to use your personality. He's not limited by you. You're limiting yourself, but He's not limiting you. God might give you an idea for a business, but that business is meant by God for you to produce wealth so that you can be generous and you can be a benevolent employer and give people opportunity to see what kind of heavenly Father and what kind of business God conducts. Amen. To show people how good God is, and to show people how productive God is, and to show people how generous God is, and to show people the way, the truth, and life is Jesus. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Boy, if we want God to move, we want to have a great encounter with God in our church services, and there is nothing wrong with having a great encounter with God. Every time I come here, I have a great encounter with God. But my encounter with God here is meant so that other people can have an encounter with God out there. Amen. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit so I can be a witness. I'm baptized with love so that I can be a lover of people's souls. I'm baptized with the goodness of God so that I can show people the goodness of God. And the goodness and kindness of God leads people to repentance. The veil has been torn in two by Jesus on the cross. And there is no longer a separation between you and God. You are a traveling, glorious vessel of heaven on earth. You are carrying the presence of God. The presence of God started in the Garden of Eden. The presence of God for mankind started in the Garden of Eden, and then it left the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, and the presence of God moved into the tabernacle with Moses, and the presence of God moved into the temple with David and with Solomon. Then the presence of God moved to the earth through a human in Jesus, and then the presence of God came to the earth through Jesus after he rose from the dead, where he had said previous, when I leave, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and every one of you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every one of you can have the Holy Spirit. He will be your comforter. He will never leave you. He will be with you forever. He will lead you. He will show you what to do. He will show you what to say. He will teach you all things. He will show you my glory. He will show you the way. He's the comforter, the encourager, the strengthener, the all-knowing, all-wise God living on the inside of you. We're no longer just going to church so that we can experience God's presence, but we're going to church to learn about how God's presence is in us, and then to take his presence to everywhere we go and to carry the presence of God. You and I are the vessels. The Bible says that God does not dwell in temples made with hands, because he now dwells in the temples made without hands. You were not made by man's hands. You were made by the hand of God. You have been given a fingerprint by God, a DNA by God that no one else has. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have been made in the image of God. You have destiny in you. You have greatness in you. You have the power in you. You have eternity inside of you. And inside of your human body is the Holy Spirit living there, dwelling there. Rivers of living water live inside of you. You're full of life. You're full of eternity. You're full of healing. You're full of wisdom. You're full of righteousness. You're full of the power of God, the gifts of God, the anointing of God. You are the temple of God now. You are God's temple. You are God's vessel. Oh, you are God's vessel. Who can say here, I'm the vessel of God? Come on, everybody stand together and say, I'm a vessel of God. Say, I'm the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6 says, behold, we are the temple of God. God dwells in us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, 11, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. And he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. You are the temple. You are the vessel. God is not going to pour out revival from the sky. He's going to pour it out from you. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38, out of your innermost being, verse 37 and 38, for out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, who in John chapter 7, verse 9, had not yet been given. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, who was to be given. And he was given in Acts chapter 2. And now we have him. And anybody who receives Jesus has those rivers of living water. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply a breaking forth of the rivers that God puts inside of you when you get born again. The baptism of the Holy Spirit breaks you forth and opens up those rivers, opens up the dams, so the rivers and the tributaries of God's Spirit can flow out of your innermost being. And out of you will flow wisdom, and out of you will flow kindness, and out of you will flow compassion towards somebody who's suffering, and out of you will flow mercy, and out of you will flow love, and out of you will flow grace, and out of you will flow patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and all the fruit of the Spirit. Love is patient and kind. Love does not get offended. Love is not easily hurt. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered, but love never fails. Love bears up under everything and anything that comes. It bears all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails, and love is inside of you. Don't ask God, God, send me more love, send me more love. Thank God. God, thank you for the love that is a river inside of me, the river of love, the river of God, the river of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've never been saved, if you're not sure you're going to heaven when you die, everybody bow your heads for a moment and everybody pray this out loud online as well. You want to be sure you're going to heaven when you die. You don't want to die. Today may be the last day for some people all around this world. It is the last day for many people around this world. People die every second, every hour, every year, every bit of time. People are dying. People are also being born again. And if you're not sure that you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven, let's be sure. Everybody pray this together. Heavenly Father, I invite Jesus into my life. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus is risen from the dead. I receive the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. From this moment forward, I'm a child of God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm going to count to three with every head bowed still. And those of you that are watching online as well, you prayed that prayer on the count of three, put your hand up really high. One, two, three. Quickly, right where you're standing. God bless you. Come on. Who else? God bless you. Who else? God bless you. Who else? God bless you. Who else? Come on, put your hand up high. God bless you. Who else? Who else? Today, you're, yes, God bless you. Hallelujah. Who else is watching right now and you say, that's me. Today is my day of salvation. Congratulations. You just made the greatest decision of your life. And now it is the time to join the family of God and come and take the next step next week and come back and be with us. And the altar will be open around 10:15 before our 10:30 service. We will be praying together. It'll be a moment of prayer. Don't worry if you can't make it. Show up at 10:30 and you will catch the wave of the power and the presence. And there is a momentum of God's rivers coming together. And as each of us are praying, more and more rivers are connecting and is creating a flood of God's goodness and a flood of God's grace and a flood of God's power. And God chose you to live in this hour, in these days, in this generation, in this moment, in this church. It's a reason. There's a purpose. Don't give up on your purpose. You might be going through some pain, but learn from the pain that God has a purpose for you. Learn from the pain that God is still with you. He's not putting you the pain on you, but he is putting the purpose in front of you so that you can see that whatever pain you got to go through, it's worth it to come to the other side with God's God-given purpose for your life. Amen. Who wants to walk in God's purpose for your life? Say in the name of Jesus, I am a vessel of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of God, and his power, his love, his intelligence, his wisdom lives inside of me. And from this day forward, I want to be used by God to bring others into God's purpose and into heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you guys. You're dismissed. Thanks for being here today. Have a beautiful day in the neighborhood and a beautiful day wherever else you go today. God's blessing is on you. Take his love and share it with somebody else. If you need prayer for anything else, we have several prayer team members that will be at the front to pray for you in Jesus' name. God bless and Godspeed, everybody.
Well, thank you again so much for joining me today on the podcast. I'm praying that God is using this message to speak to you today. And I want to encourage you right now, if Life Changers is one of the platforms from which you're growing spiritually and you feel blessed and empowered by the content here, I want to ask you to go to lifechangerschurch.com/give and become one of the givers, one of the people that is changing lives with me around the world. Become a greater part of what God is doing. Become a part of something bigger than just you or bigger than just me, what God is doing around the world through this ministry. You can give a one-time gift or become a recurring giver. Remember, the church is not a place, it's a people. Let's work together as the church to bring more people into the family of God. Go to lifechangerschurch.com/give to give or click the link in the description. And thank you in advance. Remember, God's not mad at you. He is mad about you. He's in love with you and he is on your side. God bless.